So just for the tape, Dave has read from Matthew 25 about the 10 virgins. And so shall we just pray? We just pray, Lord Jesus, we thank you that your name is power, your name is life, that you come to heal and you come to restore and you come to breathe afresh. And we just say, Lord, this wonderful vision that you gave Beth and Lord this morning, we just pray that we would let these dams of living water run right the way through us and flow out of us, because you've got a job for us to do. We need to shout to the streets of Selby the name of Jesus Christ. And so because of that reason, we need to know that we're truly grounded and that we have genuine faith, and we need to understand who we are, and we just need to understand this morning how to give the gospel away in all its fullness. And so we just pray that you would come in your name, lovely Jesus Christ. We just pray that we'd apply to our hearts, not to anybody else this morning, to our hearts. Holy Spirit, move us and tell us the things that need to be changed about our lives, not somebody else. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So how this word came about is that God said to me that I was giving you a warning. I'll explain it in a moment. But a parable actually is an earthly story. So they are Jesus' words. It is an earthly story, but it has a heavenly meaning. And it has an eternal meaning. So this is a very serious story, a very serious parable that is a story, but with a heavenly meaning. And it is a warning for the church, and this is who it's speaking to, for the church to be awake, for the church to be alert. And where is he? Good old Steve, last week, when he started saying, we need to be prepared. Well, this is what this scripture is doing this morning. It's preparing us. And so wherever you are, so you may be in a really good place, God is still saying it's preparing you. You maybe feel a little bit lost. Well, God's grace is bringing you back. And you maybe don't really know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Well, you will today. So this word has got every ounce of hope in it. It's got every ounce of love in it. And this scripture is keeping our souls safe. And so really, when you go home, read it again. This word is not to condemn us, but this scripture is to convict us and to help us understand that we don't want to be living like the foolish virgins. We want to be these wise virgins. And so in that, God sometimes needs to bring a revelation to where our hearts are at, because sometimes our hearts are very distracted and our hearts get very disturbed and our hearts get off course. And so we always have to come back and we have to check ourselves. Where are we? And that's what I want you to allow this scripture to do, just for it to allow to check your heart. Where are you? Because we are on a mission. This church is on a mission. This church is going out to tell people and shout the name of Jesus Christ. And we've got to know Jesus. And I seriously mean this. We've got to know him. We've got not to know about him, but we've got to know him like in a depth like never before. Because people will see that we are not genuine if we have different actions and a different lifestyle. So I will explain, I'll go through this scripture and explain what it means. So the bridesmaids or the virgins, what it was talking about, represent us, the church. And the bridegroom is Jesus. And the foolish virgins were in the most dangerous, vulnerable place, because the bridegroom, their oil, they hadn't got any oil, their lamps for their lamps. And what had happened is they'd run out and they weren't prepared. And the scripture says the door was shut. So they went to go look for the oil and the door was shut. And Spurgeon says this very, very serious thing. He says the penalty was severe. And when the door is shut, it will never be opened. Let me read that again. Spurgeon says, the penalty was very severe for the foolish virgins. When the door is shut, it will never be opened. So these five virgins and the foolish and the five wise, they probably would have looked very similar. And maybe to look at them, you wouldn't have been able to see any difference. So they were all members of the same bridal party. They all probably had it said they were virgins, so they had a good moral code. All were waiting for the bridegroom. And the one warning is, there was one thing that was missing. They had no oil. And the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does, so this parable is called really the parable of the oil of intimacy. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings you into that intimate place. So you just don't know about God, but you actually know him. He's your everything. He's your treasure. He's your greatest love. And God just gave me this warning. And I felt the grief of it. So please just bear with me. Because when you have to bring something and you have the weight of carrying it, and Dave will tell you, I've carried this for months and months and months. So I've carried this word before Christmas. And so I've carried it in my soul, and it's just been like a weight. And I just felt Jesus say to me, there's some people that can just take me or leave me. They get up and they don't pray. They get up and they don't read about me. They get up in the day and they never consider me. They never think about me. And my name, Jesus Christ, is never proclaimed on the lips. They can just take me or leave me. And this is where the foolish virgins were. And it's not a safe place to be. If you can take Jesus or leave him, if you can go through your Christian walk with a two-day obligation and a two-day duty that is just cell and it's just church, you've got a hold of the wrong thing. This is a seven-day relationship. This is a seven-day faith where we don't leave Jesus. We don't leave him any day, because it's total intimacy and it's total connection. And if you want to read something, go read John 15 about abiding with Jesus, about being rooted and connected in with him. Go read those scriptures, because the scriptures that point to this all the time, there's the scriptures in Romans 8 that tells us about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us when we're saved, and that we're never the same. And that's what happens to us when the Holy Spirit, when we've given our lives over, when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we are never the same. The old has gone and the new has come. And I just had this sense that just because we go to church, just because we maybe have a good moral code, just because maybe 20 years or 10 years ago, or maybe a year ago, we said a prayer and we asked Jesus into our lives, just because we believe in God, just because we have every intention in our hearts of going to heaven, doesn't mean to say that we will. Because if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, if you do not know him personally, let me tell you, you are like the foolish virgins. And the penalty was, when the door is shut, it will never be opened again. And so we need a wake call, a really wake-up call, because you do not know the hour when Jesus will return. Nobody does. Not even Jesus himself. Only the Father in heaven knows that time. And you don't even know. Nobody knows their death date. Nobody knows that day when you're going to die. So we need to be prepared. We need to be alert. And we need to be in these places. And this story is not a difficult story. It wasn't a difficult story to understand, and it wasn't a difficult story, but it's a difficult story to say, because it has a simplicity that just somehow, that is so simple, but somehow people can't get hold of it. That Jesus is saying, just love me. Just love me. Because I am so lovable and I am so lovely. Just love me. Just every day when you get up, just love me. Just come and pray to me and love me. Just come and worship me and love me. Come and read about me and you'll see how lovely I am, because I'm absolutely lovely. And you'll find on every page this God of power and this God of life. And when we talk about these things, about seeking the face of Jesus, let me tell you, you don't have to go very far. When you open the Bible, you see the face of Jesus nearly on every single page as you read it. He's shouting Jesus to you. And so I just want to help you, because last week when Dave said this scripture in Numbers 2 about the Israelites being camped around the tent of meeting, and it was quite funny, wasn't it, because he said they just opened the tents and they beheld him, they saw the tent there. But you know, not everybody gets up, not everybody gets up and lifts the flap and beholds Jesus. Because that scripture is trying to say to us, he's meant to be in the centre, guys. He's meant to be in the centre. He's meant to be your first waking thought and your last thought before you go to sleep. You're meant to consider him in the day. You're meant to love on him. You're meant to worship him and adore him. That's what the scripture is saying. This isn't hard things. It's simple. But let me tell you, Jules started praying this lovely prayer the other day, and she was so lovely. You know when you want to gather somebody's prayers and you want to take hold of them and like record them, and you think, I'll play that again, I want to play it again. You know when somebody prays a lovely prayer and you just want to grab hold of it. Well, she just prayed this lovely prayer, and she just said, you know, we're like these sheep. That's what we are. And you know what sheep are like? They like to have a wander. They're all over the place. And then the shepherd has to shout, come back, come back. He gathers them. And that's what he's like. And she said, and Lord, just sometimes these sheep get caught in the thicket. And at that point when she said it, I thought to myself, that's exactly where I used to be. So I asked Jesus, I was saying to Dave this morning, I was all over the place for many years. So I'd said a prayer. And that's why I'm telling you this is serious stuff today. I'd said a prayer when I was 8 years old, and I'd asked Jesus into my life. And then I'd say from 8 years old till I was about 33, I was a sheep caught in the thicket. I was a sheep caught in the thicket of addiction. I was a sheep that was lost. And then what a shepherd does, because he loves us, because his grace is lavished on us, he keeps shouting and he keeps trying to pull us from out of the thicket. But what happened with me is I just didn't want to go from there. And I believe that some of you are like that. You're caught in the thicket. There's something you're caught in, and you just won't allow God to do what he needs to do with you. And let me tell you, he is the lovable,
the lovable Jesus. And he comes to set us free. And he tells you in scripture he's delivered you out of darkness. And he's transferred you into his kingdom. And we don't want to be under the authority and the control of the enemy. But that's what it's like when you get caught in the thicket. You're under something and you can't get out. Because you can't get out because the one thing you don't do is respond. And God is saying that's all you have to do. You only have to respond to me and I'll come for you. I'll come out for you. And so for some people here, God hasn't brought this word for nothing. Bethan didn't read, have this vision for nothing. This word is going out to accomplish what God sent it to do, to bring people back into his loving arms. And so this is my personal story. I knew that the enemy was trying to sabotage me. I knew the enemy was trying to deceive and destroy me. And yet I couldn't bow. I couldn't surrender. I just couldn't do it. And Jesus is saying there's some people here today, you're just not bowing and you're not surrendering. But when Jesus came to me, and I'm privileged because not many people have had these things, but I had a visitation from Jesus. And I didn't need to see his face. I felt him on the back of me. I felt him behind me. And that was enough. Let me tell you, that was enough for me. Just to know the presence of the living God had come to me. And so I had this visitation and God delivered me because I shouted for him. And some of you need to know today that you need to shout for him and he's going to come to you. And so in that moment, there was something that happened to me, and the enormity of the cross, the enormity of sins forgiven. Because if we preach a wrong gospel, if we preach a gospel saying, say a prayer and everything's okay, it's a wrong gospel. We need to know the enormity of our sin. We need to understand that God the Father could not look on us unless Jesus had died on the cross to forgive us our sins and redeem us. And we haven't got the righteousness of our own. We've got the righteousness of Jesus Christ upon us. And we didn't deserve it. But Jesus and God, out of his great love for us, he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And so the weight of the sins forgiven, when that hits you, let me tell you, when that hits you, you will never be the same. Has it hit you? Has the cross hit you? Has the cross transformed you? Has the cross done something that you are no longer, the old has gone and the new has gone, that you actually know that you are a new creation, that you are not the same again? Because when you've gazed upon the cross of Jesus and known the enormity of your sins forgiven, you will never be the same again. So what happened to me in that moment, that I was delivered from the darkest place of my life, and Jesus revealed to me the cross. Do you know what it was? It was very, very, very easy. It was very easy for me to know him as king. Because when you know him as king, what you'll do is you'll bow and you'll surrender everything of your life and you'll keep on doing it. It's a continuation, I have to say. It never stops. And at that point, I just gave him my everything. I gave him my love, I gave him my time, I gave him my heart, I gave him my emotions. I was a mess. We have to surrender everything. There isn't anything that Jesus doesn't want. He wants everything. He wants our whole life. He wants your hopes and he wants your dreams. He wants your family. He wants everything, because we can't do a good job of them, but Jesus can. And speaking the name of Jesus just changes everything over every situation. And we have to have something in us to be able to shout to Selby Town,
shout to our neighbours, shout to our family. And if we only just know about him and not know him, they'll see right through us. They will see right through us because they'll see we're not genuine. And so this scripture is helping us. And because when you actually know Jesus as your king and you've surrendered, and that's why I'm telling you this, you will know him as your bridegroom. You will know him as your bridegroom. So you can't get things the wrong way around. Until you've surrendered, until you know him as your saviour, until you know him as your king, you'll never understand him as your bridegroom if you don't know him as those two things. Because when you know him as your king and you've surrendered, you'll know this intimacy of communication. You'll know this place of intimacy. You'll know it. Because the Holy Spirit will actually keep taking you deeper and deeper and deeper in this place. And so when Dave says this thing, and he said it, and he said it the morning we went for a prayer, he said, I believe that God... He prayed it out, and I said to him, that's prophetic, Dave. I can feel it in the way in my heart. And he said, God, you're taking us as a church on a marriage course. And that's what he's doing with us, guys. He's saying, come a little closer. Lean a little harder. Press a little deeper. Come and hear me. Come and be with me. Come and spend time with me. Let me be your first love. And I want to help you really seriously. It's not how you get things wrong. So if anybody's in that mode, it's not about your failures. It's not about your shortcomings. It's not about all those things when you trip and you fall that make you stumble. It isn't. It's how you get up again is what Jesus is looking for. It's how you get back to your feet and how you come to him again. Because that's what Jesus wants us to do. So I want to help you, because if anybody thinks I've done something that's so bad and Jesus can't forgive me, let me tell you, he can. I've got so lost and I can't get back, let me tell you, you can. Let me tell you, even today, if you don't know him as your saviour and your king, you can know him this morning as your saviour and your king. And then you'll know him as your bridegroom. You'll know him as your bridegroom, because one day, I want to tell you in all seriousness, you're going to have to face him as your judge. For us all, we're going to have to face him as our judge. And he will say to you, where is your heart? Where are your desires and where are your affections? Are they on me? Are they on me, good and faithful servant? Are they on me? And that's what we need to know. We need to know that our affections and our desires are set on Jesus. They're not set on other things. They're set on Jesus Christ. He's our everything. And so the bridegroom is waiting for the bride. He's waiting for his lovers. Those that are committed. Those that are devoted. And those who want to communicate. And those who really keep the oil of their lamps burning. And that is asking the Holy Spirit every day. He is your friend. Ask him every day, keep me alive and keep me on fire. He will help you to protect your heart and to know where your heart's at. And so the door is flung wide for you, if that's who you know you are. And let me tell you, it's not about, hear me, how you've maybe got things wrong. It's about where your heart is. So if you know today that your heart is there, you'll know the door is flung wide open for you, because the Holy Spirit will give you an absolute assurance that it is. But if you are wavering, if you've got like a sheep, like I was, and you've got astray, you've got entangled, you've got into the thicket and you can't get out, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is going to help you to get out of that place this morning. And so that is it. I'm not going to I'm not going to say anything else. That's the end of me.